Well, welcome to our worship for Mother's Day, May 10th, 2020. And I'm here in the flower department just reminding you that Mother's Day is here. Well, today we are going to learn about mothers, celebrate mothers. We're going to look at mothers from the Bible and special moms. So as you worship today and join us in communion, I pray that God will bless you. Let me open us up in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity. Please help those that are moms and moms to us feel blessed today. Be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mother's Day looks a lot different this year.
Mommy needs a quarantine.
And our moms may be spending a lot of time with their kids right now. A lot. Like, so much time. And even though they love their kids to the moon and back,
Mommy, where are you going?
Sometimes moms need a little alone time.
Mommy!
You know, to recharge.
Go talk to Daddy.
Mommy! Where are you?
But no matter what's happening in the world, their favorite way to spend time is with their family. But now my only when is now, and my only where is when I'm by your side. In good times, in hard times.
Mom!
Hi.
You're breaking everything!
In uncertain times. Thank you, Mom, for making time for us every single day.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I ask that you would watch over us as we go to bed and rest, that you'd speak to us in Bible stories and speak to us in our...
Welcome to the communion meditation for Sunday, May 10th. Today, I want to look at hope. And you know, it's interesting as we look around at the world around us and we see all the suffering, all the pain, all the frustration, the hurt, the political bickering, the sickness. And it reminds us of the curse. You know, it can be depressing. And burdensome. We see this conflict in the country, and it can be really hard to keep our focus where it needs to be. As we wade through the virus, and as the state lessens the restrictions, we start to have hope. Hope that things will return back to normal. Hope that we can move on with our lives. And hope is a powerful tool. Hope is something that we need to have. You know, it's easy to lose that hope at times, to crawl into our shell, to distance ourselves from everything and everyone and just kind of hunker down. At least for me, there's times when I don't want to hear the news. I don't want to see what's going on. I don't want to know all that stuff because it's just depressing. But yet at the same point in time, it can remind me of our hope. Because our hope is not in that thing, that stuff. Our hope's not in the stock market. Our hope's not in who will be the next president or what's going to happen here. Our hope is in Christ. You know, our whole world is cursed by sin. That's why we have all this pain and suffering. Is in Genesis, it talks about the very earth is cursed. And we are as human beings. Even though we are redeemed through the blood of Christ, we still have a sin nature. But we have a future hope. And we have to share that future hope. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 15 is the main one, but I'm going to back up a couple of verses here. Who then will harm you if you are devoted to what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear or be intimidated, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. We should have a reason for our hope, and that reason is Christ. And we should be ready to share that reason with anybody that's willing to ask. Have you ever stopped to think about what Christ did upon the cross? Yes, he died. He paid the punishment for sin. But there's a lot more to his plan than just that. It starts all the way back in Genesis. And it goes continue to Revelation. And that is a plan to restore what once was. To make all things new. In the Garden of Eden, he said, it is good. It is good. It's no longer good. But one day it will be good again. And that is our hope. You know, it's interesting, in Isaiah 53, it talks about the servant, Christ, coming and dying. And you keep reading in chapter 54, and then you get to chapter 55, and it talks about his restoration of all things. Making all things new. You know, it's interesting, because in Isaiah 55, it says, the trees will clap with joy. Romans 8, 18 through 30 talks about how this earth groans for that hope, groans for that redemption, that restoration. The earth itself is longing for that time when all things are created new. When that time comes, the curse of sin will be lifted from this earth, and God will restore all things. All things. What a blessed day that will be. And that is our hope. Our hope in the future, in what Christ has done, but what he will do. Are we living in light of that hope? Are we looking at the cross and being reminded of the hope of the future? We named our daughter Hope Adonai because we needed to be reminded that our hope is in God. And I hope and I pray that you are continually reminded that your hope is in not in the stock market, not in the political climate or the president or in the things and the securities that you have, your house or whatever, but your hope is in God and in Christ who makes all things new. Let's pray for the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your body that was broken, that was bruised, that died upon the cross to give us hope, that gave us a glimpse of the future when you will restore all things because you have redeemed them, you have bought them back. And we thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's pray for the cup. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us. That without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and that you shed it to redeem us, to buy us back. Thank you for the hope that you give us, that just as you were taken to your Heavenly Father, we will be taken up as well. And we long for that day when you will come and you will return and you will take your people home with you. And then after that, when you will restore all things and make all things new. Help us to ground our hope in you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. I'm glad you can be here today. It's good that we have a special day for moms like this, but really, we should always be telling mom how special she is and how much that we love her and appreciate her. Mom's Day is not in the Bible. It only became a national holiday about 100 years ago. So in terms of the Bible, no, the Bible was finished long before Mother's Day even became a celebration. But moms have been around for a long time. Do you know who the first mom was? Yes, it was Eve, way back in Genesis, in the very beginning of the Bible. Do you know what her name meant? Yeah, Adam gave her the name Eve because it means living or life. There's two stories about moms that I want to talk about, one from each of the Testaments. So one of the stories is from the Old Testament and one is from the New One. I'm going to talk about the one in the Old Testament first. This one takes place in 1 Kings 17. It's a true story, and I've already told you it's about Elijah. He's got something to do with this. So does God, of course. 1 Kings is the 11th book in the Old Testament. For widows, life was always hard, especially when they had children. Now, a widow is a woman who's been married and had a child, but her husband has died. And so she's pretty much left alone to take care of all the children that she has. The woman in our story has one child, a boy. We don't know how old he is. Probably old enough that he could be left alone in the house, but I'm not even going to guess at his age. So, like I said, this is a true story. So, God sent the prophet Elijah to this widow because God wanted to take care of the prophet Elijah through this widow. Shortly before this, Elijah was staying in a place where he was being fed by ravens. God was providing him food through the birds that would fly and take care of him. But then the drought got so bad that the water in that area had dried up, and Elijah had to go somewhere else. And so God sends him to this foreign country where there's a widow, and he tells her that he has prepared this widow for her. Or actually, I think the Bible says God has commanded her to take care of him. But as you hear the story, you're going to find out that the widow doesn't really know that, but God works it out so that she does it anyway. So God sends the prophet Elijah to this woman so that God can take care of him through her. She did not live in Israel. She was in a foreign country, And she was not one of God's people. She was not an Israelite. She wasn't Jewish. So when Elijah finds her, he asks her for some water, and she goes to get that for him. But as she's going to get it, he says that he would like her to bring him some bread as well. And that wasn't going to work. You see, the lady was gathering sticks so that she and her son could have their last meal. She was just about out of food. She only had enough left to make, apparently, a small loaf of bread for her and her son. So her food would be gone after they ate this meal, and she really expected that they would die from starvation shortly after that. Well, she explained this to Elijah, that she had to take care of her son. And so, in other words, the mom had to take care of her family before she could take care of Elijah. Well, that's just like a mom, isn't it? Moms take care of their children and their families, dads. And sometimes they sacrifice for that. Well, this widow had done everything that she could, and she was out of resources. There was just nothing left. She was gathering sticks to cook that last meal. So she declined to feed Elijah so she could take care of her son. Now, I can't even imagine how sad this mom must have been. Not only because she couldn't take care of Elijah, but mostly because she couldn't take care of her son. She wasn't going to be able to save him. She was only going to be able to feed him one more meal, and then that was it. So the mom was doing everything she can to take care of her son. Can you think of some ways that your mom takes care of you? Think about it for a minute. Maybe when you're done listening to me, you could draw a picture or talk to your mom and tell her some of the wonderful things that she does for her and how much you really appreciate that and how special she is. Well, in our story, Elijah tells the woman that if she would take care of him first, God would make sure that she had enough for her family. Well, now that sounds kind of incredible, but this woman decided to trust Elijah, and she did. She fixed a loaf of bread for him and did not run out of flour or oil. And she was able to fix a meal for her and her son. Mom never ran out of food because she trusted Elijah and his God. Now, if you're really interested in this story, there's another miracle that happens, but you're going to have to read that on your own. 1 Kings 17, okay? Because now I want to tell you the other story. This one is in the New Testament. This story is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 24. That's about where it starts. Jesus was spending most of his time with God's people, the Israelites, and he was teaching them and making disciples. And basically, I think his ministry had pretty much just started. But he was already doing miracles, and the word about what Jesus was doing was spreading around. There was a mom. She was not an Israelite. So again, we have a lady who's a mom who is not an Israelite. They're not a Jewish person, but they're in the Bible because something special happens. This lady had a little daughter who was sick. Now, I don't think that this lady was a widow. We don't have any information about the rest of her family. All we know is that she had a daughter, and the daughter was sick. The daughter actually, we're told, has an evil spirit who is hurting her, and it had made her mom very sad. Her mom did not like what the evil spirit was doing to her daughter. Of course, who would? And she was trying to do everything she could to get rid of this evil spirit so that her daughter would be normal again. But she couldn't find anybody that could do that, and she couldn't figure out how to do it on herself. I bet your mom takes care of you when you're sick, doesn't she? When you've got something wrong, she does the very best that she can. And if she can't help you, she'll take you to someone who will, won't she? Yeah, moms are that way. They really care about us and love us, and They don't like it when we're sick. In fact, I'll bet you it bothers your mom more when you're sick than when you're than the way that you feel when you're sick. But anyway, so that's what this mom was doing. She was trying to get some help for her daughter. And like I said, no one else could help, but she had heard about Jesus. And she had heard about Jesus helping people and healing people and casting demons out of people, which is exactly what she needed Jesus to do for her daughter. So she went to Jesus and she asked Jesus to help her daughter. But Jesus told her that he had come for the Jewish people. And this is what Jesus said: "Let the children be fed first, because it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." What Jesus was saying was, basically, he was there for the Jewish people. She wasn't Jewish. It wasn't time for him to increase his ministry to other people. So he was basically telling her that he couldn't help her because she was not part of God's family, the people that he had come for at that time. Excuse me a moment. Thank you. But this mom said, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Well, Jesus liked that answer. And he told her that she could go home. Her daughter had been cured. Just like that. And when the mom got home, she found her child laying on the bed and the demon was gone. I'll bet that mom was so happy her daughter was well again. Oh, I'm so sorry. I got something in the back of my throat. Moms are special. You know, there are many different ways that they show our love. Moms, and moms are a lot like God. Moms always love us no matter what. Moms know what we need and help us when they can. But sometimes they know that we might learn more if they don't. Moms give us rules to keep us safe. Moms forgive us when we disobey, sometimes even before we say that we're sorry. Moms spend time with us doing fun things or teaching us things. Mom disciplines us when we disobey. I'm sure sometimes you don't like that, but it's a good thing. Moms always try to do the very best for us, but that doesn't always mean giving us our way. Moms hurt when we hurt. I kind of said that when I was talking about the sick girl. Moms are sad when we are sad, and they're happy when we're happy. I know that your mom is very special, and I hope that you take some time to tell her how much you love her. Thank you for listening to me. I hope you've learned something different about moms. I know it wasn't really a Bible story about moms, but you got to see moms in action and how cool moms can be. And I know that your mom's cool too. So thanks. I'll see you later. Bye.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you've joined us again. This past week, I asked several kids one of the most important questions I could think of. And here are their responses.
What do you like about your mom?
She helps me clean my room.
She shares everything.
Everything.
She gives kisses.
Everything.
My mom, because she cooks all our food.
Both of our parts.
And I got two parts.
She what?
Stories. She makes good chicken pesto.
That she makes good food.
I like that she takes us on fun adventures.
Lots of things.
Can you name one?
She plays games with me sometimes.
Do you like that she...
I love that she pushes me to be the best person I can be, and I wouldn't finish my work without her. So, yep.
Her new baby.
I love my mom because she got me a pink coat.
Well, that was pretty cute, wasn't it? I've looked at it a bunch of times already, and I think that the kids are awesome, but two, I was impressed at how, as the kids aged, how they saw that their mom was even more important and special to them than they thought before. Well, today we are going to be talking about moms and mothers, but if you're not a mom, if you don't have kids, you couldn't have kids, you won't have kids, or if you're a guy, I think that it's still worth it to stick around because moms are pretty special and God's got a pretty neat plan for them. And that's what I hope to show you today. But first, I'd like to pray. Well, dear Lord, thank you that we can talk today. Please help me to say only what you want me to say. Please help moms that are listening to feel special, valued, and loved. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, moms, did you know that you are a glimpse of God? I'm serious. God made you in such a way that if you love to the fullest of your ability in a self-sacrificial way, you are a glimpse of God. Don't believe me? Okay, I'm going to show you in the Bible, in the New Testament, a passage that was written by an apostle named Paul. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 1. If I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it is not boastful, it is not arrogant, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not irritable, does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. Now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Did you see anything in that? Well, if you had a loving mom, or if you yourself are a loving mom, do you think that you could say, like it did in verse 7, my mom or I bear all things that my kids do. I believe all things, not like the lies or anything like that, but you believe in them. You're a cheerleader. You're behind them. And my love endures through all things for my kids. I think those three moms can exhibit. I know, thinking about my own mom, my mom absolutely stuck with me through thick and thin. She loved me regardless. I know she loved my brother and sister through everything that happened. She was a glimpse of God to us. And since you're a glimpse of God, there's a really important thing to know. That you have been made in the image of God. And God himself has attributes that are mothering and nurturing that only you can bring out as a mom. In Scripture, Jessica Houghton Wilson says, God refers to himself as the God who gave you birth. And in Isaiah, he compares himself to a nursing mother. In the New Testament, Jesus adopts this metaphor for himself when he speaks to Jerusalem. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. So God's nurturing side was there, purposely endowed to you. I know that there are men that are nurturers, that are women that are not nurturers, but by and large, a mom, once a child comes into being, their love for the child is tenacious. It is unending and is inseparable. Have you ever heard of someone that did drastically wrong things and yet the mom still loves them? The mom still hopes for them to come back. You are that person. Next, another thing you do as a glimpse of God is moms give new life. You know, guys, we can't give new life. We can't create new life. But moms, they're so amazing that life is created within them and through them. Just like God, remember what Deuteronomy 32:18 says, the God who gave you birth. Moms, you're just like God in that. You're unique and special because you can create life. Well, there's another thing. Moms, you are world changers. You have the ability to impact generations. That's pretty amazing. We always say we want to change the world, and yet, moms, you can do it just by being you. Well, secondly, God made you a mom on purpose. You're like, what? But hear me out. If we believe that God has a plan, and that his plan is for those that believe in him, for things to work out for their good. It might not be good all the time, but God will work it out for our good. So God purposely gives us what he believes we need to be able to accomplish our mission here on earth. So he made you a mom on purpose. If God gave you kids, then it's not an accident that you're a mom. Great moms don't happen on accident, but great moms do happen on purpose. So not only are you a glimpse of God, but God made you a mom on purpose. Therefore, since those things are true, and since you're a mom on purpose, seeking God makes you a better mom. Wouldn't that make sense? If the God that created you in his image, who loved you unconditionally, who gave you this nurturing heart to love unconditionally, showed up in your life, wouldn't you want to learn from that unconditionally loving God so you could unconditionally love and nurture better? Well, Jessica Wilson again says this, mothers today face an onslaught of mixed messages about how best to parent in the 21st century. Podcasts, blogs, and books on mommying abound. But many of them indulge regularly in shallow parenting advice and fallacies about excessive self-care or me time. In the midst of the coronavirus quarantine, moms on social media often advise diametrically opposed strategies. Take regular mental health breaks while your children gorge on Netflix. Or schedule out every minute of children's at-home education so that they don't fall behind in productivity. The message seems to be either love yourself first or pour all your energies into your children's future. I know this quarantine has probably made it a little more challenging, especially if you haven't had to school your children at home before. Makes you want to pull your hair out, I'm sure. Although it's tempting to make parenting an end in itself, asking the questions, are we sleep training well? Are we potty training right? Are we educating successfully? Are we raising good citizens? And are we training morally upright individuals? Those are actually not the right questions. If we look at social media, most of the time, I believe that you can get bogged down. There's so many perfect moms and perfect setups and perfect houses, perfect everything. But yet I wonder if that camera panned away a little bit, would you see the mess? Would you see the yelling at their kids behind the scenes? We need to, instead of looking at this temporary stuff that's happening around us, because our kids will grow up, they will leave the house. This is a reality. But there is something permanent. The God who made you in his image is an everlasting God. He has an everlasting purpose for you. And your purpose includes being a mom. But he wants you to not only be a glimpse of God in your children's life, but he wants you to point to God. Your unconditional love points to an unconditional God. We need to direct our attention to the cross, where we remember what Jesus Christ did, dying on it to take away our sins. Our children belong first and foremost to God. They have been given to us as a gift, as a treasure, but a treasure that's only for a time. I was speaking to someone this week, and she's a mom of three. She said that there's no perfect to try to achieve. Don't be tempted to turn to others or social media, she said. Social media and other people can have a voice that's louder than God's. Rather, go to God first, because you give a glimpse of God, and you are not a mother on accident. You are a world changer just by being you. Therefore, you can be a better you when you turn to the one who created the world. So we know that these three things are true for moms, but there's another one. Moms have faith, not necessarily children. Even if you don't have kids, can't have kids, won't have kids, you still can be caring for others. Tyler Holly says, mothers are everywhere. We just have to have the eyes to see them. When I was a child, he said, a middle-aged woman slipped a torn corner of the church bulletin in my hand with a Bible reference penciled on it. She said it was her favorite Bible passage, and that I might like it too. And I remember a young lady with a felt board teaching a Sunday school class on baptism, and that's when I learned what baptism meant. When I was in college, an older lady in my church would give me weekly hugs and tell me that she was praying for me. Those prayers would sometimes be accompanied with brownies. Can you think of women that have been like a mom to you in your life? Moms have faith, not necessarily children. The church is filled with sons like me who need the mothering of many women. And this Mother's Day is even more so for me. I've lost most of the women in my life that have bared all things, believed all things, hoped all things, and endured all things out of love for me. And so I've been struggling, and it's been really hard. So for me, not having a physical mom doesn't mean I can't have a spiritual mother. Doesn't mean that I don't long for someone to care in an unconditional manner. And my friends, that's what you can do. You can love unconditionally, because the truth is we've all been loved unconditionally. by the Creator God. We've all been made in His image. He has a plan for all of us. So what can you do to encourage someone else that really does need a mom? What if your mom was a super bad example for you and you don't know how to mother? Is there another mother out there that you can look to, that you can ask, like a mentor, how you can ask for help? What if your kids are grown and you don't have the chance to have them at home? It doesn't mean your time with them is over. Pray that God can create an opportunity for you to be able to show the unconditional love that they need. I believe that God would open that. And if God has not blessed you with kids, or maybe you are a guy like me, we can still be kind and caring to others. But moms, you are a unique, special gift, a glimpse of God. In 1997, Fred Rogers, better known to us as Mr. Rogers, won the Lifetime Achievement Award for the Emmys. And when he went up, this is what he said. "So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here. Some of you are far away. Some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take along with me 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are? Those who have cared about you and watched what was best for you in life. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time." And after the 10 seconds, he said, "Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel that they've made." During that time, the video showed actors and actresses tearing up, remembering those that have loved them. All of us, we have special ones who have loved us into being children of God. Some are here and some are far away. Some are even in heaven, where they join the saints around the throne. We all have had spiritual parents. Will you be that for someone? Will you be a spiritual parent that raises children to follow Jesus and invite others to follow Him? So moms, you are a glimpse of God. May you point to God too.